Ashley said, faking hysteria. I'm not hurt at all. You could be, the agent warned. Try to calm down. The driver reached Nefarious, who remained slumped in the driver's seat. Concerned, the driver set the medical kit down and leaned in to take his pulse. Nefarious suddenly lashed out, spraying him in the face with a small vial of aerosol. The driver gasped in shock, then collapsed to the ground. The agent with Ashley turned toward the driver, startled. Jim? He asked. What's the... Before he could even finish the thought, Ashley gassed him the same way. He reached for his gun, but the spray acted too fast, and he went down on the road, too. I told you I wasn't hurt, Ashley said, dropping the scared little girl act. Then she raced toward the armored car. Two more agents burst out of the rear doors. These guys knew what had just happened to their partners and were ready for trouble. But Ashley got the jump on them. Literally. She attacked with a martial arts style I had never seen before. It was part karate, part Olympic gymnastics. A mix of handsprings, flips, chops, and kicks. Even though she was only half the size of the agents, she quickly overwhelmed them. Within seconds, both were out cold on the ground. Nefarious came running, only to find that Ashley had handled everything fine without him. Rather than congratulate her, he awkwardly looked at the ground and said, "Eh." I'd like to see any of those little twits who made Team USA do that, Ashley muttered, then checked her watch. 20 seconds to rendezvous. Let's get the package. Nefarious nodded, then climbed into the back of the armored car. Ashley followed him. 20 seconds after Ashley had spoken, a minivan squealed to a stop beside the armored car. I couldn't see the driver, but I had no doubt it was another spider operative, driving the most innocuous vehicle possible, hiding in plain sight. Ashley and Nefarious emerged from the back of the armored car. The package wasn't a thing. It was a person. A federal prisoner, wrists and ankles cuffed together. The passenger door of the minivan slid open for them, and they bundled the prisoner inside. As they did, one of the cameras caught his face, revealing the identity of the 14-year-old boy they'd gone through so much trouble to rescue. It was my nemesis, Murray Hill. Chapter 8. Reunion. Spider Agent Training Facility, Student Housing, September 12, 0830 hours. Murray made his dramatic entrance back into my life during breakfast. I was having cereal. Ashley was drinking a shake. Nefarious was cramming Pop-Tarts into his mouth while he played video games. We were all trying to act normal, like we hadn't been doing things in secret the night before. Ashley and Nefarious were pretending like they hadn't subdued 4 federal agents and sprung Murray Hill, while I was pretending like I had no idea that they had subdued 4 federal agents and sprung Murray Hill. I was the one who had caught Murray in the first place. In fact, I'd caught him twice. The first time was right after I had figured out he was Spider's mole at spy school. Although he hadn't gone to jail then, Spider had intercepted him on the way, freeing him to participate in their next plot. I'd thwarted that one too, capturing Murray again, with a little help, and this time the CIA had made absolutely sure he ended up in prison. But now, after only 3 months, he was out once more. After watching Murray's rescue, I had hustled back home and climbed into bed, though I'd been too amped to sleep and was still awake when I heard Ashley and Nefarious return at 5 a.m. I faked being out cold when Ashley peeked into my room to check on me, and didn't really doze off until almost 6. But to allay any suspicion that I'd been up all night, I pried myself out of bed at 8 and headed down to breakfast. Ashley and Nefarious had done the same thing. Despite the events of the previous night, neither looked tired at all. In fact, Ashley was humming with more excitement than usual. She couldn't sit still or keep the self-satisfied smile off her face. "Why are you in such a good mood?" I asked. "I rocked an exam yesterday." Ashley took a big gulp of probiotic sludge. "What exam?" I demanded. "How are you taking exams that I'm not taking?" "Surprise!" Murray yelled from the top of the stairs, then slid down the banister. He tried to hop off suavely at the bottom, but he wasn't nearly as coordinated as Ashley. Instead, he tripped over his own feet, clocked his head on the foosball table, and collapsed on the floor. As nemesis went, Murray wasn't particularly imposing. His hair flopped over his eyes, he had the posture of a question mark, and he believed physical exertion was something that should be avoided at all costs. In addition, he'd never come across as particularly devious or malevolent. Instead, he behaved more like a criminal fanboy, raving about the brilliance of Spider's plots, or giving me respect when I figured them out. Murray had cleaned himself up since his rescue, but he still looked disheveled, wearing a stained T-shirt, torn jeans, and mismatched socks. Now he hopped back to his feet with a flourish, acting like he'd meant to crash into the foosball table all along. "How's it going, Ben?" I did my best to look stunned. I stared at him in fake astonishment and did some Oscar-quality stammering. "What? How did... I thought you were in prison." "I was, until last night. The feds were transferring me to a new maximum security penitentiary, but your pals here sprang me en route." I spun toward Ashley and Nefarious, letting my jaw hang open in shock. Nefarious didn't look up from his game. Ashley shrugged and blushed. I stared at her accusingly. "You sprang Murray, and you didn't tell me?"
"I asked her not to," Murray explained. "It wasn't any sort of top-secret hush-hush for your eyes only kind of a thing. I just wanted to surprise you.
You should have seen your face. I totally got you."
"You sure did," I admitted, then dug back into my cereal. Now it was Murray's turn to look surprised, only his was genuine.
"That's it? That's the welcome I get? How about, 'Hi, Murray, long time no see. Sorry I sent you to prison. Twice.'"
"I'm not sorry about that," I said. "In fact, I'm kind of upset you're out." I'd given a lot of thought to what my reaction to seeing Murray again should be. It was one of the many things that had kept me awake the night before. Acting was a big part of being undercover. The wrong emotion might make everyone suspicious. I'd rejected excitement, anger, sadness, guilt, and joy, finally opting for mild annoyance. It worked. Murray sat across from me, looking hurt.
"I thought we were friends."
"You only pretended to be my friend while working for Spider."
"It wasn't all pretend. I really did like you."
"You locked me in a room with a ticking bomb."
"That wasn't personal. You were a good spy. I was a bad spy. That's how the business works.
But we're both working for the bad guys now. We're on the same team. We should be friends. You're friends with Ashley, right?"
"Yes," I said, "but Ashley never tried to kill me."
"And yet she works for the organization that ordered me to kill you," Murray countered. "In fact, you're working for the organization that ordered me to kill you. So if you're going to be angry at anyone, it should be yourself."
I hated to admit it, but there was a bizarre logic to Murray's argument. "It's not that simple." Murray started to reply, but Ashley cut him off.
"Give Ben a break. You know what they taught us in Psychology of Evil. Transitioning to being a bad guy is morally complex. It's hard enough to do without the person you sent to prison surprising you at breakfast all of a sudden. I told you that wasn't a good idea."
"Only like 1,000 times," Murray rolled his eyes.
"So you know, Ben, I don't bear any grudge against you, although I am a bit ticked at Erica Hale for giving me this."
He pointed to his right front tooth. It was made of gold to replace the real one.
"There was no point in her knocking it out. She did that just to be mean."
"Well," I sighed, "you'd tried to kill her too."
"And seeing as she's on the other team, I'd do it again, if I had to. But as far as you and I are concerned, everything's copacetic. No ill will on my part at all. Do you guys have any bacon?"
"Sure," Ashley nodded. "We've got tons. Help yourself."
"Thanks."
Murray hurried to the fridge.
"They didn't have any real bacon in prison, only that weird veggie bacon junk."
"Why?" Ashley asked. "For health reasons?"
"No, cost cutting." Murray dug through the deli drawer. "They don't give a hoot about your health in prison. They got guys serving life sentences in there. The longer they live, the more it costs. Frankly, it'd make financial sense to give them more bacon. They'd die much sooner, which would be a substantial cost savings, but they'd be happier. It's a win-win for everyone."
He gave a cry of joy and pulled out a fresh packet of bacon.
"Ooh, thick cut. Excellent."
"Why'd Spider spring you?" I asked. Murray flashed a smug grin.
"'Cause I'm a nice guy."
I shook my head. "Springing someone's a big risk, right?" I turned to Ashley. "I'll bet whatever you did last night, it wasn't easy."
"It wasn't," Ashley said proudly. "If it wasn't for my swassome fighting skills, Nefarious and I could have ended up in jail ourselves."
"Spider never takes risks it doesn't have to," I told Murray. "They wouldn't have gone through all the trouble to get you out unless they had to." Murray laughed, then shook a finger at me.
"You always were a smart one. Man, I'm glad you're working for us now. You're right. I wasn't sprung just for my sparkling personality."
He set a pan on the stove and turned the flame on under it.
"There were two other reasons."
"What?" I asked.
"Aw, come on, Brainiac. I'm sure you can guess at least one of them."
Murray dumped the entire package of bacon into the pan at once.
"Hey," Nefarious snapped. "Don't eat all of it. Some of that's mine."
Everyone turned to him, startled he'd spoken.
"Cut him some slack," Ashley said. "He's been in jail."
"Darn straight." Murray opened the cabinets and poked through our food. While you guys have been living it up here in the burbs, I've been suffering for our cause. The least you could do is let me have a nice breakfast. Ooh, donuts!
He pounced on a pack of powdered ones he'd discovered in the cupboard. Nefarious turned back to his game, muttering under his breath.
Fine, eat all the bacon, but you'd better keep your hands off my Cheetos.
The interruption had given me time to think about the answer to my own question. I told Murray, Spider was worried the CIA would get you to talk.
Ding, ding, ding! Give the kid a prize, Murray grinned, his lips now ringed with powdered sugar. I didn't talk, of course, but your pals were going to keep trying to crack me. It's not easy doing the old clam routine. Sooner or later, everyone blabs. It might take a couple years, but they do it, and as you're certainly aware, Spider has plenty of secrets.
What's the second reason? I asked.
The government has plenty of secrets itself.
Murray shuffled the bacon around in the pan with a wooden spoon.
And sometimes the only way to get those secrets is from the inside.
I stiffened in surprise. Are you saying Spider wanted you to get captured? Murray laughed.
You mean like the thing that happens in practically every spy movie, where they catch the bad guy halfway through, and they're all proud of themselves, but then it turns out that getting caught was part of the bad guy's plan all along? That he wanted to be in jail because then he could attack the system from the inside?
Yes.
No, that's just something they do in the movies.
Murray had the heat on too high and was now enveloped in a cloud of bacon smoke. And if you ask me, it's a pretty lousy plan. Jail stinks, the food's bad, the accommodations are cramped, and the service is deplorable.
Any evil scheme that involves sending you there needs to go back to the drawing board. Our last plan was much better. We blow up Camp David, we get paid a lot of money, and everyone's happy. Only you screwed it all up. Believe me, I did not want to end up in the can. But since I did end up there, thanks to you, Spider figured I might as well nose around and see what I could turn up.
What were you supposed to find out? I asked.
How much the CIA knows about our current plans.
And what do they know?
Nothing, Murray flashed another powdered sugar grin. Zilch, nada, zippo, they don't even have the slightest idea what we're up to.
That's it? I asked. That's all you learned?
What else did I need? Murray asked.
Ashley polished off her shake with a loud slurp.
Well, I can see you guys have a lot of catching up to do, so I'm going to go work out.
She plunked her dirty glass in the sink and headed for the gym.
Thanks for springing me last night, Murray told her.
Ashley waved this off.
I'm sure you would have done the same for me.
Probably not, Murray said. Rescues are dangerous.
Ashley laughed, thinking this was a joke, although I was quite sure it wasn't. She disappeared into the gym, and a few seconds later, her workout music began to filter through the door, a mix of upbeat dance tunes.
She's amazing, Murray said. Maybe not quite as gonzo as your girlfriend Erica.
Erica isn't my girlfriend, I corrected.
But she's still pretty darn awesome. And unlike Erica, she's actually nice.
Erica can be nice when she wants.
How often is that? Once a decade? I went to school with her for 2 years and she never so much as smiled at me. Not once. And she knocked out my tooth.
You were the bad guy. She was taking you into custody.
It was malicious. Ashley's not malicious at all. She's sweet. That girl wouldn't hurt a fly.
Unless she had orders to hurt it. Have you ever seen her in action? No, I lied.
It's unbelievable. Spider developed this whole gymnastics kung fu kind of thing for her. It's why she was recruited. But she's turned out even better than we'd hoped. She's like Bruce Lee in spandex.
Murray used a pair of tongs to fork the entire load of bacon onto a plate. He tested a piece and groaned in ecstasy.
Oh, man, have I missed this. I have no idea what vegetarians are thinking, saying no to bacon. Want some?
Sure, I said. Murray grabbed the plate of bacon, the box of donuts, and a can of Dr. Pepper, carried it all over the ping-pong table, then waved to it graciously.
Help yourself.
I plucked a piece of bacon off the stack. Now that I had Murray alone, Nefarious was riveted to his video game, it seemed like the perfect time to question him about Spider's current plans. But I realized I had to proceed with caution. If I was too nosy, he'd get suspicious. Then again, he might also get suspicious if I wasn't nosy enough. After all, the only person who wouldn't ask any questions would be an undercover agent trying to act like they weren't interested. Luckily, it wasn't terribly hard to get Murray to talk. He loved to hear the sound of his own voice. If I led him to the subject, he might simply tell me everything I needed to know.
So you're now living in the fourth bedroom here? I asked.
That's right. We're housemates.
And you're going back to school with us?
Murray frowned.
No,
although Spider might ask me to sit in on your courses just to brush up on a few subjects. My skills have gotten a bit rusty, seeing as I've been in jail and all, but I'm not a student like you guys.
It sounds like you're going to be a student like us, I said, knowing that the best way to get under Murray's skin was to wound his pride. It worked like a charm.
I'm not, he snapped. I'm well beyond being a student. I've been sent on a mission for Spider, twice.
I have defeated your missions, I pointed out, twice, and I'm still a student.
That's different. You were working for the good guys. Now you need to unlearn everything the CIA taught you and relearn everything Spider's way. And Ashley and Nefarious haven't been activated at all, save for last night. Meanwhile, I've been out in the field for Spider. I've been a mole. I've planted bombs. I've arranged for the smuggling and delivery of stolen missiles. I've even been shot at, for Pete's sake.
I know, I said. I was the one who shot at you.
I've done my time as a student here.
Murray made a sandwich, cramming half a package of bacon between two donuts and took a huge bite.
Last spring, when the CIA thought I was at that juvenile correction facility, I was actually here, prepping for my mission. But now I've been baptized by fire. Gunfire? I'm part of the Brain Trust here now.
Then why are you living with us students instead of getting a house to yourself?
Because my house isn't built yet, Murray said peevishly. But it's under construction. I'll have one soon enough, just like Joshua and all the other big shots.
I didn't quite believe what Murray was telling me, though it wasn't because Murray was inherently untrustworthy. There was an edge to his voice, like I'd struck a nerve. Murray was being sent back to school, and he had a big chip on his shoulder about it. This time he wasn't lying because he was under orders to do so. He was lying so I'd think he was cool. So I called him on it.
That's not true. Those houses are for other people.
They're not. I've got mine picked out already. It's going to be ready any day now, and it'll be even better than Joshua's. It has a jacuzzi tub in the master bathroom. Joshua doesn't have a jacuzzi tub. If he wants bubbles in his bath, he'll have to eat a whole bunch of beans first.
I'll bet you don't even know what Spider's plotting this time.
Of course I do.
And what is it? Murray started to say something but caught himself. Then he broke into a knowing smile and pointed at me.
You sly devil. You're playing me. You almost got me to spill my guts, but it's not going to happen. For the time being, only those of us in the Brain Trust are allowed to know the future plans.
You students will have to wait. This time, I couldn't quite get a reading on Murray. He might have really known what Spider was up to and been following orders to keep it secret. Or he might have merely been pretending to do this so that I'd believe he had more access than me. I decided to take one more shot at cracking him. I wasn't trying to get you to spill your guts. I just didn't think you were being honest with me. Murray held up his hands in surrender.
I know I haven't always been straight with you in the past, but things are different now.
I shook my head. No, they're not. You're lying to me right now, just like all the higher-ups at Spider have lied to me. Now Murray looked offended.
Oh, and the CIA was always completely honest? Like when they brought you in as bait to catch a mole without even telling you they were doing it? You could have been killed.
By you, I pointed out. You were the mole.
Water under the bridge, Murray said dismissively. Point is, Spider is a million times better than the CIA. Look around you. Look what we give you. Free housing, a rec center, all the bacon you can eat. Total and complete awesomeness. Meanwhile, what does the CIA give you? Criticism, angst, and ulcers. And then they kick you to the curb.
There were only two strips of bacon left. I grabbed one before Murray wolfed the rest down. I'm not saying that Spider isn't better than the CIA. It is. I should have listened to you and switched sides months ago.
Darn straight, Murray said proudly.
However, I continued, Spider still hasn't been completely honest with me. Murray paused in the midst of taking the last piece of bacon.
What are you talking about?
I had to fight the urge to smile. I might have failed to get Spider's plans out of him, but I still had him hooked. Don't get me wrong, I don't want to sound ungrateful, but, well, sometimes I still get the feeling that Spider doesn't completely trust me. Maybe it's because I just defected from spy school and they think I'm some sort of double agent. Murray shook his head wildly.
No, Spider would never have recruited you if they thought for a moment that you'd do that.
To be honest, they'd written you off after you thwarted us the second time. You were too much of a goody-two-shoes to flip. But then those idiots at spy school ousted you, and the top brass here reconsidered. Nothing makes for a better bad guy than wanting revenge on the agency that dumped him.
Then why doesn't Spider let me have a cell phone? I asked. Or an internet connection.
That's nothing personal. That stuff's just too easy for the CIA to crack. Emailing, texting, cell phone messages, internet searches, it's all traceable.
We didn't go through all the trouble to build the secret community to have someone accidentally blab its location to the CIA on Twitter.
And yet someone's using the net. You guys are communicating with my parents for me.
Yes, but from an extremely secure location, far away from here. Which reminds me, I have some messages for you.
Murray fished some crumpled pieces of paper out of his pocket and tried to decipher his own handwriting on them.
Your parents are very proud of you, but miss you very much. Your Aunt Sadie had her Archaeopteryx removed?
You mean her appendix? I asked. Murray squinted at his notes.
Oh yeah, her appendix. That makes a lot more sense. And Mike B. something says he can't believe you're going to another lame private school and that some girl named Kate is still asking about you.
Once again, I had to wonder how much Murray actually knew. Spider wasn't connecting to the internet through a distant, secure location. Joshua had been online the night before in the secret underground lair. Either Murray wasn't aware of this, or he was trying to keep me in the dark, but I couldn't tell which. My inability to get him to cough up any solid information was frustrating. But there was one last thing I could try to get him to do. Spring me from Hidden Forest for a while. Once I was outside the compound, there was a chance I could figure out how to contact Erica, or at least figure out where Hidden Forest was in the first place.
Okay, I said. I guess there really isn't an internet connection here. But Spider definitely doesn't trust me.
Sure they do.
Murray popped the last of his bacon and donut sandwich into his mouth. Then how do you explain the fact that Spider won't even let us leave the property?
We can leave.
I can't, I shot back. This place is like a prison. A really nice prison, but still a prison.
How many prisons do you know of that have their own rec center?
How many communities do you know that won't let you leave whenever you want? Murray started to argue, but before he could, Nefarious said, Ben has a point. We turned to him, surprised as usual that he'd actually spoken, wondering how much of our conversation he'd listened to. He had turned away from his game, although he wasn't really looking at us. He was looking down at the floor, avoiding eye contact.
We can leave, but we need permission, he mumbled. And we haven't had permission in a long time. It'd be nice to get out of here.
See, I told Murray, even the guy who never gets off the couch is feeling trapped.
What are you talking about? Murray asked Nefarious. You got out of here just last night to rescue me.
Eh, Nefarious said. Murray turned to me, unsure what to make of this. I think he means it'd be nice to leave the compound for something fun, I translated, not just for a mission. Nefarious nodded agreement.
Fun? Murray asked. Have you guys seen that rec center? That place is the capital of Fun City. Anything you could possibly want to do, you can do there.
You're making excuses, I told him. I thought you said you had some clout at Spider, but it sounds like you're trapped here just like the rest of us.
Murray looked as though I'd insulted his honor.
I do have clout. If you want to get out of here, I'm your man. Where do you want to go, the beach?
Before I could respond, Nefarious said, Okay.
Great, Murray agreed. The beach it is. I'll make it happen.
He shoved back from the table and hopped to his feet. I didn't want to go to the beach. I'd been hoping for something more urban. A restaurant or a mall. A place where I could clandestinely slip a message to a policeman. A place with internet access. A place I wouldn't have to wear a bathing suit.
Hold on, I began.
No can do. Murray was already heading for the door. I'm already late for some meetings today. Post-incarceration briefings, reorientation, all that jazz. Ben, it's good to see you again. Glad to have you aboard. Oh, and thanks for the bacon.
He grinned, flashing his gold tooth, and then slipped out the door. Chapter 9. Target Practice. Spider Agent Training Facility. Recreation Center Firing Range. September 15, 1400 hours.
Our business is not an easy one, Joshua Halal said. We must always work in the shadows. Our successes must always remain secret. And of course, there is always the issue of law enforcement.
He looked right at me as he said this. Not so much accusing me of still working for law enforcement, I hoped, as much as indicating that I used to work for the other side. It was early afternoon, right after lunch, and Joshua was lecturing us. We were on the firing range at the rec center. It had started as a normal class, with Mr. Seabrook teaching us the basics of weaponry, or at least in my case, trying to teach us the basics of weaponry. But Joshua had shown up suddenly and taken over. Mr. Seabrook obviously wasn't happy about this, but he relented and now sat in the corner behind us, grumbling to himself. Ashley, Nefarious, and I all stood at attention while Murray slumped beside us. It had been 3 days since he'd arrived at Evil Spy School,
and despite his claims that he wasn't a student like the rest of us, he'd been at every one of our classes. He'd claimed he was just auditing them, or brushing up on some information he'd forgotten while imprisoned, but it definitely appeared that he was under orders to be there, and he made no secret of being annoyed about it. At the moment, he was making a show of being bored for Joshua, stifling yawns and checking his watch repeatedly, but Joshua barely glanced at him. Instead, Joshua kept his gaze riveted on me, or at least it seemed like it was riveted on me. It was kind of hard to tell because he had only one eye. "There is no other business in the world that must contend with what we do," he continued. "No other business that has so many people actively trying to stop it from making a profit. No other business that has multiple government agencies, at both the local and federal level, working against it."
"Well," I said, "that's because our business is illegal."
Joshua stared at me for a long moment, then nodded. "A valid point. And yet the fact remains that, no matter what we do, one branch of law enforcement or another is always determined to muck it up. Unfortunately, they sometimes succeed, but then we often succeed as well. In fact, we have succeeded far more than law enforcement knows. And that is the way it will always be. They try to thwart our plans. We try to stay one step ahead of them, or more, if possible. Quite often, this results in direct conflict. So the question I have for you today is, in the event that you do encounter a law enforcement agent, what should you do?"
Ashley's hand shot up in the air. "Ooh," she cried. "I know. Pick me."
Joshua pointed to her with his hook. "Yes, Miss Sparks?"
"Capture them."
"I'm afraid that's incorrect," Joshua said. Ashley sagged, disappointed. I raised my own hand. Ashley raised hers again at the same time, having thought of another answer, but Joshua made a point of calling on me. "Yes, Mr. Ripley?"
"Kill them," I said.
Merely pronouncing the words made me feel sick to my stomach, but I hid this behind as stony a face as I could muster. Joshua gave me an amused smile, like I was a dog who'd just mastered a trick.
"That's exactly right."
I did my best to look pleased with the praise. Since Murray had arrived at Evil Spy School, life had gone on exactly as before. Classes had continued, Ashley worked out, Nefarious played video games. The only thing that had really changed, it seemed, was me. I was growing more worried by the day. Spider was definitely up to something. The underground lair and Murray's rescue indicated that, but no one seemed willing to let me in on the secret. I still hadn't learned a thing about Spider's plans, and yet, even if I did find out what they were plotting, I had no idea what to do about it, because I still hadn't heard one word from Erica or anyone else at the CIA.
"Capturing enemy agents might seem like a good idea," Joshua explained. "After all, you can always use them as hostages, or as bargaining chips. Give us safe passage out of the country and we won't hurt your friends. But the fact is, capturing them is never worth the headache. You have to imprison them somewhere, and prisons are expensive. You have to feed them, and that's a big hassle. And worst of all, enemy agents have an annoying habit of escaping. It's much less trouble to just kill them, and to kill them as quickly as possible."
"Kill them quickly?" Murray asked, without bothering to raise his hand. "Really? Isn't it more fun to draw their death out a little, to make them suffer?"
Joshua sighed. "No, we are not James Bond villains here, kids. The more you draw out your enemy's deaths, the more chance they have to escape. So no lowering them into pools full of crocodiles, or trying to slice them in half with lasers or anything like that. Just shoot them and be done with it."
Ashley nodded appreciatively, like she was cataloging this information in a mental file. Nefarious simply stared at the floor. Murray slumped against the wall, looking ashamed that Joshua had dismissed his ideas so quickly. The silence from the CIA was really starting to eat at me. I'd been assuming all along that they knew where I was, even if I didn't know. I'd figured they were out there behind the walls of Hidden Forest somewhere, watching me. But now I was wondering if something had gone wrong. What if they'd sent me into the lion's den but lost me en route? Or worse, what if they hadn't really sent me at all? In either case, I was on my own, surrounded by the enemy. Joshua stared us all down with his one good eye.
"If you found yourself facing an enemy agent, could you kill them?"
"You know I could," Murray groused. "You've seen me in action."
"Eh," said Nefarious.
Joshua shifted his attention to Ashley, who grew uneasy.
"Do we absolutely have to kill them?" she asked. "Can't we just knock them unconscious? Because I'm good at that."
"Yes, you are," Joshua agreed. "You were quite adept on your mission the other night.
However, there is a big difference between facing a lowly delivery boy for the prison system and an enemy agent who has uncovered information that could compromise our plans. There are cases when one must take drastic measures. Can you do that? Ashley's features suddenly hardened. Any trace of doubt disappeared. I guessed she was channeling her huge reservoir of anger about the Olympics. Yes, she said. I can. Joshua turned to me.
And you?
Sure, I said confidently. I can do that.
Really?
He asked. Because you didn't kill me when you had the chance.
Ah, I said. My fake confidence faded a little. Well, you know, the CIA has this whole policy about not killing people. They're more of a capturing organization. Although, in my defense, I did arrange for you to fall off a very high cliff. You were really very lucky to have survived that.
Still, you didn't come down and make sure I was dead, Joshua pointed out. That was sloppy. I fidgeted uneasily.
Are you saying that you'd be more convinced if I had actually killed you?
Yes.
But then you'd be dead.
But I'm not. Joshua's gaze, which was already cold, now grew significantly colder. That was a big mistake on your part. A rather fortunate mistake where I'm concerned, but a mistake nonetheless. And I need to know that the next time you find yourself in a similar position, you won't be as careless. Because next time, there's a very good chance that your enemy is going to be someone you know. One of your friends from spy school, perhaps.
I nodded, understanding. Of course, I'd known all along that something like what Joshua was suggesting could happen, but I was really hoping it wouldn't. I had never liked the whole idea of shooting anyone to begin with, which was something my weaponry instructors back at spy school had always found frustrating. In my confrontations with the enemy so far, I'd always found ways to subdue them without personally inflicting any harm. But now I was in much deeper than before, and I didn't have anyone else, like Erica, to protect me. I tried to mimic Ashley's stony glare.
You can count on me.
Joshua held my gaze for a long moment before nodding.
I hope so, for your sake, that you're all being honest with me, because when the moment of truth comes, any hesitation on your part means you're the one who ends up dead. I can assure all of you that if I were to find myself in a situation where I was face to face with someone who I knew was working for the enemy, here he stared directly at me as if issuing a challenge, I would not hesitate to take them out.
Good to know, I said, trying to sound nice and casual, like the entire exchange hadn't been absolutely terrifying. Did Joshua still have suspicions about me, I wondered, or was I just being paranoid?
I can assure you I'm being honest. Those people from spy school, they're not my friends anymore. If I have to take care of them, I can handle it.
Let's put that to the test, shall we? Joshua flicked the lights on, illuminating the entire firing range. Hanging at the far end, instead of the standard silhouette of a human body, was a full-size photograph of Erica Hale. Joshua then plucked the gun from his holster and placed it in my hand.
Show me what you'd do to her.
I suddenly felt sick to my stomach. I had never liked guns much, and I liked the idea of aiming them at people even less, although this was infinitely preferable to having people aim guns at me. So the idea of aiming at someone I cared about, even if it was only a photograph of them, was nauseating. But I knew I couldn't reveal this. I ignored my queasiness, spun toward the target, and pulled the trigger repeatedly, emptying the clip. I missed with every shot. The closest I got was a bullet hole 6 inches from Erica's knee, and that shot had actually ricocheted off the floor.
Mr. Seabrook rolled his eyes in exasperation.
Your marksmanship could use some work, Joshua observed dryly. However, the intent was still impressive.
A tiny smile flickered across his face, as though he was actually pleased with me. A tinny beeping suddenly echoed in the firing range. Mr. Seabrook snapped to his feet, eyes wild with fear.
Is that a bomb?
Don't have a heart attack, Murray chided. It's just my watch alarm. Class time's over.
He turned to Joshua.
Are we done here? Because we got a beach to go to.
Really? Ashley asked, surprised.
We're going today?
Right now, Murray grinned, unless you'd all rather continue this lecture.
No way,
Ashley exclaimed. Then seemed to think better of it and turned to Joshua.
No offense.
It's okay, I understand, Joshua said, though he looked quite annoyed. Whether he was annoyed at Ashley or Murray was hard to guess.
Go pack your bathing suits, Murray ordered us. I've already got everything else in the car. Towels, snacks, sunblock, you name it.
All right, Ashley bolted out of the firing range, so excited that she executed 2 handspring flips en route. Nefarious shuffled out after her.
It seemed he might have been excited, too. He looked the same as he always did, but he seemed to be shuffling faster than usual. I followed them, although by the time I was out the door, both had already disappeared down the hall. So I paused there, out of sight of Murray and Joshua, and listened, wondering what I might hear. Back inside the firing range, Joshua said, "Your orders were to do a surveillance run, not lead a field trip."
"I am doing the surveillance run," Murray shot back. "But I made a judgment call. I'll blend in better with everyone else than I will alone."
"You didn't make this call. You allowed Ben to manipulate you into it."
"No, I had to go to the beach anyhow, and I let him think it was his idea."
"I don't like it."
"Well, your boss approved it, so it doesn't matter if you like it or not."
There was an uncomfortable pause. Then Joshua said, "Murray, I know you like to pretend that you're at the same level I am, but you're not. I am a full-fledged member of Spider, while you still have a great deal to learn. Humility, for one thing. In addition to your surveillance, you'd better keep a very close eye on Ben Ripley." Murray sighed. "I know you've got issues with Ben because he turned you into half the man you used to be, but I know him, and I promise you, we can trust him. He's on our side now."
"You can't trust anybody."
"Whatever the case, he doesn't know what we're planning, and he doesn't know what today's really about. He and Ashley and the video freak were all just champing at the bit to get out of here for a little while. They've been working hard, 7 days a week. If you don't give them a little time off, they'll go psycho."
"That's a bad thing?" Joshua asked. "We could use a few more psychos at this place."
"They deserve some fun. It's good for morale to let them have it. And besides, I have to check out 56 anyhow. So why not kill two birds with one stone? I know how much you like killing things." I didn't get to hear Joshua's reply. Instead, I heard footsteps coming my way. Given the heavy plodding nature of them, it sounded like Mr. Seabrook was on his way out of the firing range. I slipped away before he could catch me eavesdropping and raced home to get dressed for the beach. I had no idea what 56 was, but I was determined to find out. I finally had my first lead.
Chapter 10. Recreation. Sandy Hook National Seashore, September 15, 1600 hours. It turned out that Spider's gated community, the headquarters for the most malicious, dangerous, subversive enemy organization in the world, was in New Jersey. There was no way Murray could keep me in the dark about this once we'd driven out the gates. There were too many signs. Signs for highways, signs for turnpikes, signs indicating how far it was to New York City and Philadelphia. Even a master of obfuscation like Murray couldn't keep me from noticing at least a few of them. However, he did try very hard to keep me from figuring out exactly where in New Jersey Hidden Forest was. Murray had procured a sedan from the Spider Motor Pool for us and was driving himself, even though he was only 14. Given that Murray had once been part of a plot to assassinate multiple world leaders, driving without a proper license probably didn't seem like much of a crime to him. In order to keep an eye on me, he'd assigned me the shotgun seat, over the protests of Ashley, who claimed she had seniority, and he spent the entire drive trying to distract me from paying attention to my surroundings. He insisted I work the radio, asked me to dig through his beach bag in search of his sunglasses, which turned out to have been in his pocket all along, and repeatedly dropped his gun between the seats, which I then had to recover before it discharged and wounded someone. By the time we hit the New Jersey Turnpike, I deduced that we were somewhere around Plainfield, but I had no idea how to get back to Hidden Forest from there. Adding to my confusion was the fact that Spider had been brilliant in choosing to disguise their compound as a gated community. There were gated communities everywhere in suburban New Jersey, and most of them looked exactly like Hidden Forest. Murray probably could have dispensed with all the tricks. His horrible driving was more than enough to distract me. He was constantly getting distracted himself, veering out of his lane, blowing through stop signs, and nearly plowing into other cars, until Ashley Nefarious or I, and often all three, screamed at him to watch what he was doing before he killed us. By the time we reached the beach, I'd clenched the armrest in fear so many times that I dug furrows into it with my fingernails. Ashley was so thrilled that we'd survived the trip, she kissed the ground when she got out of the car. Murray had brought us to a national seashore called Sandy Hook, which was the northernmost beach on the Jersey Shore, a thin peninsula that jabbed northward into lower New York Bay. I'd never even heard of Sandy Hook before. It was beautifully pristine, especially compared to the other Jersey beaches we'd passed, where homes were crowded up right onto the sand. New York City was surprisingly close across the bay. Coney Island in Brooklyn was only 6 miles across the water,
and to the west of it, I could see the towers and bridges of Manhattan peeking up from behind Staten Island. As it was mid-September, summer was still lingering, providing perfect beach weather. It was also a Tuesday, so the beach wasn't horribly crowded, although there were still a good number of adults who had slipped away from work for the afternoon, and students who had come down after school. Murray had apparently selected our parking place, in part, due to the large concentration of teenage girls in bikinis in the area. He seemed particularly taken with a group of blondes who were tanning close by and chatting about shoes and classic Jersey accents. Ashley quickly snapped off her t-shirt and shorts, revealing she was in a bikini herself. Nefarious opted for significantly more sun protection, pulling on a long-sleeved rash guard. It was probably a good idea, as his flesh was pale and white as the belly of a flounder. The Jersey girls noticed him and snickered cruelly. Nefarious stared at the sand, trying to hide his wounded expression. I still saw it, though, and got the sense this was an all-too-familiar experience for Nefarious. I wondered if this had played into his decision to join Spider. A kid who'd spent his life being teased and tormented might have a pretty big grudge against the world. Ashley didn't notice. In fact, she'd teased Nefarious as well. "See that big, bright thing up there?" she asked, pointing at the sky. "It's called the sun. Apparently you've never been out in it before." "You're hilarious," Nefarious muttered. I peeled off my shirt, pried off my sneakers, and dropped everything in the sand. Ashley bolted for the water. "Last one in is a federal agent." Nefarious and I took off after her, but with her muscular legs, Ashley beat us soundly. She plunged directly into the surf, then came up whooping with delight. I came in second, with Nefarious far behind. He entered the water tentatively, as though afraid it might be poisonous. It was perfect, though, just the right temperature, refreshingly cool without being cold. I caught up to Ashley where it was knee-deep. "Losers," Ashley taunted. "You guys are slame. Slow plus lame." "You gave yourself a head start," I pointed out. "That's cheating." "Last time I checked, we were training to be bad guys, not Girl Scouts," Ashley replied. "And I wasn't even running my fastest. Maybe you guys should spend a little less time doing math problems or gaming and a little more time at the gym." Nefarious finally caught up to us. He looked extremely uncomfortable in the water. I guess that if the Jersey girls hadn't been there to laugh at him, he probably would have stayed back on the sand. "You know, there's a reason for all my gaming," he mumbled. I started to ask what this was, but before I could, Ashley asked, "Want to play sneak attack?" "Sure," I said gamely. "How do you..." Ashley suddenly lashed a foot out and knocked my leg out from under me. "Sneak attack!" I toppled into the ocean, but rather than give Ashley the pleasure of seeing me come up sputtering, I stayed below the surface. I fumbled around in the silty water until I found Ashley's ankle, grabbed on tight, and yanked her off her feet. Then I surfaced, crowing triumphantly, "Sneak attack back at you!" "Not quite," Ashley said behind me. I spun around, startled. I had barely a moment to register that I'd actually dunked Nefarious rather than Ashley before she took me down again. This time I did come up spluttering. Nefarious did the same thing right beside me. He glared in my direction. "She did it," I said, pointing at Ashley. Nefarious bought it. "Not cool," he said, then lunged at her. While they chased each other around in the surf, I looked back to the beach to see what Murray was up to. Instead of coming into the water with us, he'd parked himself in a beach chair beneath an umbrella, a cooler full of sodas by his side. There was a book in his lap, but with his sunglasses on, there was no way to tell if he was actually reading it or merely using it as a prop while he spied on something else nearby. I looked up and down the beach, wondering what the 56 was that Murray had orders to survey. Beyond the road we'd come in on, a scrub-covered hill rose from the sand. There were a few low buildings behind it. I couldn't tell what they were, but they didn't appear to be residential. I returned my attention to Murray. He was looking around now, not even pretending to read his book. He polished off a soda and tossed the can aside, then got to his feet and picked up a camera. It was a big camera with a long lens, the kind serious photographers used, not the kind you brought to the beach to snap a few pictures with your friends. My feet were suddenly yanked out from under me. It happened from behind this time, so I face-planted directly into the ocean, catching a noseful of salt water. I came up gagging to find Ashley grinning impishly. "Sneak attack," she cried. Nefarious staggered up behind her, looking like he'd been dunked several times himself. "I hate this stupid game," he muttered. I tried to snort the salt water back out of my sinuses. "Any idea what Murray's taken pictures of?" The others glanced toward the beach quickly, as though afraid this was a ruse I was using to distract them from a sneak attack. When they realized Murray was really taking pictures, they dropped their guard and watched him a bit longer. "Looks like he's photographing those girls," Nefarious mumbled.
Indeed, the bikini-clad blondes were now up and about, slathering on more tanning lotion. Ashley made a face. Ick, that's pretty greavy. Gross plus skeevy. You think that's why he suggested coming here? I asked, to scope out girls? Ashley looked to me, slightly suspicious. What are you getting at? Nothing, I said innocently. I'm only asking. I mean, if he just wanted to see girls, there are probably girls at the mall, and it would have been a lot closer. Well, these girls are wearing bikinis, Nefarious pointed out. Despite the fact that they laughed at him, he seemed pretty interested in them himself. I looked back to the beach. Murray wasn't aiming his camera at the girls anymore. He was aiming the opposite way, toward the scrubby hills. What's he shooting now? I asked. He's probably only pretending like he's not taking pictures of the girls anymore, Ashley said, so they don't realize that he is taking pictures of them and think he's a pervert. Maybe he's not taking pictures of girls at all, I said. Maybe he's taking pictures of those buildings over there. What buildings? Ashley asked. The ones behind that little hill, I said. Ashley and Nefarious looked that way, seeming to notice the low-slung buildings for the first time. Why would Murray want to take pictures of buildings? Ashley asked. I shrugged. Beats me. Just looks like he's doing it, is all. Why are you so interested in what Murray's doing? Ashley demanded. Shouldn't we all be? I shot back. You guys went through a lot of trouble to spring him, and the first thing he does is bring us all to the beach?
That's not the first thing he did, Nefarious grumbled. The first thing he did was eat all our bacon.
Oh, for Pete's sake, will you forget about the bacon? Ashley asked. Okay, so not the first thing, I corrected. But you know what I mean. He's a wanted man, and you're the ones who freed him. You all ought to be lying low, and then he brings us to the beach? Maybe he's hiding in plain sight, Ashley said. The beach is probably the last place the feds would ever expect an escaped criminal to go. It's still not as safe as just staying at Hidden Forest, I pointed out. I thought the beach was your idea, Ashley replied. Weren't you the one who pressed Murray to get us out of the compound? Yeah, I admitted, but I didn't say I wanted to come here. This was Murray's suggestion. I didn't even know what country we were in until an hour ago.
He's taking pictures of the girls again, Nefarious reported.
I returned my attention to the beach. Murray's camera was pointed back toward the blondes, who were now playing frisbee. Or at least, they were trying to play frisbee. They weren't very good at it. As we watched, one accidentally pegged another in the face with the frisbee from 5 feet away. Murray kept the camera aimed at them the whole time.
Yeah, girls, Ashley said. That's definitely why he picked this beach.
I frowned. Either my fellow students didn't know Murray's real intentions for bringing us to Sandy Hook, or they were doing a fantastic job of keeping me in the dark. Whatever the case, I was quite sure Murray hadn't chosen that beach randomly. While he certainly liked girls, if he'd merely wanted to take photos of them in bikinis, we had passed other beaches on the way there. One of the blondes now misfired a frisbee terribly, nearly nailing Murray in the head. He didn't even seem to notice it as it flew past. See that? I asked. If he was really watching the girls, how come he didn't see the frisbee coming at him?
Because he's watching the girls, not their frisbee, Ashley replied.
A blonde in sunglasses ran over to our section of the beach to grab the frisbee. Now Murray noticed her. He lowered the camera, flashed a grin, and said something I was too far away to hear, but it was probably supposed to sound suave. The blonde wasn't impressed. She ran right back to her friends without so much as a glance at him.
Why do we even care what Murray's doing? Ashley asked. We're at the beach. Let's have some fun.
I'm not playing sneak attack anymore, I told her.
All right, Ashley said. Let's play deception instead.
How do we play that? I asked.
It's simple. All you do is...
Ashley suddenly turned back toward the beach.
Whoa, what's Murray doing now?
I turned back that way. The moment I took my eyes off Ashley, she swept my legs out from under me again, plunging me back into the water.
Deception, she crowed.
I counterattacked. I'd asked too many questions about Murray as it was, any more and I'd raised the suspicions of my fellow students. Instead, it seemed I should focus on being part of the team and enjoy my precious time at the beach. Or at least, I should act like I was doing that. So I did my best to dunk Ashley back into the ocean. And when she proved too adept at getting away from me, I teamed up with her and we dunked Nefarious instead. Then Nefarious decided he'd had enough and fled for dry land. Ashley and I body surfed for a while, and eventually we returned to the beach and played smash ball. Every once in a while I'd steal a glance back at Murray to see what he was up to, but after a few minutes of snapping photos, he had put the camera away and returned to his beach chair. He stayed planted there with his book for the rest of the time, not doing anything remotely suspicious. He even dozed off for a while. At 6 o'clock, he whistled for our attention.
Sorry, guys, but we gotta pack it in.
Already? Ashley pleaded. Can't we have another half hour?
We'd stayed late enough as it is. I had to twist a lot of arms to get us this free time. If you ever want to do something like this again, we can't push it.
Ashley sighed heavily but gave in.
All right.
We slogged back to where we'd left our things in the sand and grabbed our towels. The sand around Murray was littered with crumpled soda cans.
You leave anything for us? I asked.
Murray tipped the lid of the cooler back and peered inside.
No, unless you like melted ice.
Are you kidding? Ashley gasped. There were 2 6-packs in there at least. You drank 12 cans of soda all by yourself?
Murray gave a loud, carbonated belch.
They didn't let us have soda in prison. Only milk, water, and herbal tea. It was horrible.
I grabbed my shirt and sneakers off the sand. From my right shoe came the sound of something small inside it sliding down into the toe. It was barely audible, although the others might not have heard it anyhow. Ashley had coiled her beach towel into a whip and snapped it at Murray, cracking him in the knee.
That's for not sharing, she said.
Murray yelped. Ashley prepared for another assault, but he raised his hands in surrender.
Sorry! How about if we grab some ice cream on the way back?
Ashley and Nefarious exchanged a look, then nodded agreement.
Sure,
I agreed, then upended my shoe and my hand to find out what was inside. I was expecting a pebble or perhaps a soda can pull tab that Murray had chucked into my sneaker. Instead, it was a radio receiver. It was very small, designed to be inserted deep inside your ear. It actually looked a bit like a pebble. I only recognized it because I'd used one in school before. It was an expensive top-of-the-line model that the CIA favored. I palmed it quickly before anyone else could see and tried to hide the fact that I was completely astonished by its presence. I didn't quite manage it.
What's wrong? Murray asked.
I got sand in my shoe, I lied, then made a show of shaking it out. Murray turned back to the others to discuss where to get ice cream. He seemed to have bought my ruse. Of course, there was little reason for him to suspect that I had a high-end radio earpiece in my shoe rather than sand. After all, there was plenty of sand around, and even I was having trouble believing the high-end radio earpiece was there. I couldn't imagine how it had ended up in my shoe. Except for Murray, no one had been anywhere near our things for the last few hours.
No, I realized. That wasn't quite true.
Understanding suddenly descended on me. The truth was so startling, I had to turn away from the others and pretend to be toweling my hair dry so they wouldn't see the shock of revelation on my face. One of the blonde bikini girls had been near our things. The one who had chased the frisbee over. Only now that I thought about it, I realized she hadn't been some random teenager. It had been someone I'd known. Someone I was desperate to see, in fact, but I hadn't even recognized her because she was a master of hiding in plain sight. Erica Hale.
Chapter 11. Communication. Spider Agent Training Facility. Student Housing. September 15. 2100 hours. I wasn't 100% positive it had been Erica on the beach, because if it had, she'd done a staggeringly good job of blending in. As I'd learned in avoiding observation class, there was more than one way to camouflage yourself. You could make yourself blend into the surroundings, the way Warren Reeves specialized in, painting your face and covering yourself with leaves or bark so you looked more like a bush than a human. However, this method had its limitations. It was very difficult to drop a radio receiver into a shoe on the beach when you were dressed like a bush. People tended to notice bushes wandering around. So you could try option 2, hiding in plain sight. This involved making yourself so obvious that even a suspicious bad guy like Murray Hill would never think for a moment that you could possibly be an enemy agent, which was exactly what Erica had done. At first thought, it seemed outlandishly risky. After all, Murray knew Erica well. But Erica had used that to her advantage. She hadn't merely dyed her hair blonde. She'd changed her wardrobe, her voice, and her entire personality. I knew Erica well, too. In fact, I probably knew her as well as anyone at spy school. And yet it was almost impossible to imagine her wearing a bikini, or talking animatedly about shoes, or for that matter, being friendly at all. In essence, Erica had turned herself into the anti-Erica. And she'd done it so well, if I hadn't found the radio, it would never have occurred to me that one of the vapid blonde Barbie dolls next to me on the beach was the very person I'd been desperately hoping to have contact from. The possibility that she'd done it was so amazing, I spent much of the ride home trying to get my mind around it. Plus, I couldn't wait to use the earpiece and check in. These thoughts kept me so distracted, I wasn't nearly as terrified by Murray's driving as I should have been. I barely even noticed when we clipped 3 cars just getting out of the parking lot at Sandy Hook.
Or when we drifted across the median of Route 18 and nearly got pancaked by a semi. I did my best to make conversation during our stop for ice cream and to play I Spy on the drive home, but my mind was somewhere else the entire time. Murray was also up to his usual tricks, trying to divert me from paying attention to the route back. However, this time I wasn't trying nearly so hard to figure out where Hidden Forest was located. If Erica had found me on the beach, she probably knew exactly where Hidden Forest was. It was after dark by the time we got home. I was worried that everyone would be hungry and that I'd have to sit through dinner with them all. But the moment we climbed out of the car, Ashley announced she was going to take a shower to get all the sand off her.
"Me too," Murray said. "Feels like I've got half a Sandy Hook in my bathing suit."
"Eh," Nefarious said, which seemed to mean, "I'll shower too." We all headed upstairs. I listened to the water come on in everyone else's bathrooms, indicating they were too busy to eavesdrop on me, then stuck the radio into my ear and turned on my shower as well. It was possible that Spider had my room bugged, so the more noise, the better. "Anyone there?" I asked. "Guess you found my present," Erica replied. Her voice was distant and all business, but it still sounded wonderful to me. It was thrilling to make contact after so much time on my own. "Turn on your shower. Make some noise." "Already done." "Okay, now get in. Don't worry, the equipment is waterproof." I didn't argue. I was feeling awfully briny anyhow. "So that was you on the beach today. Didn't even notice me, did you?" "No," I admitted. I felt embarrassed, though I wasn't sure if this was because Erica had fooled me or because I was hearing her voice in my ear while I was naked. Probably a little of both. "How'd you even know we were going to be there?"
"I didn't. We followed you there."
"We?"
"Yes, me and Granddad."
That would have been Cyrus Hale, Erica's extremely impressive grandfather. I thought he was retired. Well, he unretired himself after Spider targeted him last year. He knows they're up to something, and he's determined to bring them down. We tailed you guys from their compound, then passed you on the road into Sandy Hook. It's a peninsula, so once Murray turned onto it, we knew that was the only place you could be going. Then I got out and tried to blend in."
"You mean you didn't know those girls?"
"Did those girls look like people I'd want to know? I just met them."
"Wow, you seem like you were all best friends."
"It wasn't hard to work my way in. I just walked up, asked if I could borrow some tanning lotion, and then complimented them on their hair. I had no idea Murray was going to set up right next to us, but I figured it was a decent shot. We were the only girls in bikinis on the beach, and he's been in prison for a few months. Don't forget to shampoo your hair."
As usual, Erica's abrupt shifts in conversation caught me off guard.
"Why?"
"Because it'll look suspicious if you get out of the shower and don't smell clean."
"Oh, right." Up until that point, I'd just been standing in the water, focusing on the conversation. Now I grabbed the shampoo and lathered up. Under my hair, my scalp was gritty with sand.
"Where are you right now?"
"About a mile away from you."
"And, where am I, exactly?"
"You don't know? Spiders worked very hard to keep me in the dark. No internet, no phones. I know I'm in New Jersey, though. Short Hills, to be exact. Or at least on the outskirts of it. It's gated community heaven out here. Spider couldn't have picked a better spot to build this place."
I rinsed my hair, then lathered again, trying to get all the sand out.
"And how'd you know the compound was here?"
"We tailed you and Joshua the day he picked you up. We were watching you the whole time after you left the academy, figuring he might show. Or someone from Spider, at least."
"So, I was right to accept Joshua's offer, then. This was the CIA's plan all along. Pretend like I'd been booted out of spy school, then have Spider come and recruit me?"
"Yes, it was planned, but not by the CIA. They don't have any idea we're doing this."
I gasped in surprise, catching a mouthful of water, which I then sputtered out.
"They don't know I'm here? This wasn't their idea?"
"Of course not. The CIA would never have approved sending a second-year student undercover."
"Then whose plan is it?"
"Granddad's."
I had to lean against the tiled wall to steady myself.
"Are you telling me that this mission is unauthorized?"
"Well, we couldn't have done an authorized mission," Erica said dismissively. "Spider has moles everywhere in the CIA."
"So as far as the agency knows, I really have joined Spider?"
"Keep your voice down. The agency doesn't know you're with Spider at all. They think you're still back at your old middle school. They're completely in the dark here."
"And they really think that I blew up the principal's office by accident? I got expelled for real?"
"Yes. We had to make it look official to Spider, and the principal would never have been able to fake it. As you know, the man's an idiot."
"So you did set me up.
You replaced the fake bomb with a live one?
Yes.
I wasn't expecting you to nearly blow up the principal, of course. The moron wasn't even supposed to be in his office. But that actually worked out better than expected. Normally, it would have taken a few days to expel a student.